Warning: overusing smartphones can be detrimental to your health. Perhaps you've heard warnings like this, and you might even believe them to be true. Now, these claims are often supported by solid scientific evidence on things like overdependence and addictive behaviors with smartphones, sleep deprivation, information overload, and severe stress and anxiety. And certainly, they must be true. It's science, after all. But ultimately, we pay them no heed and continue to overuse personal technologies in unhealthy ways. Why is that, and what should we do? My name is Tom Galvin, and these are my reflections on management. The impetus behind this episode is a project that I advised that was by a student who was interested in the mounting evidence of negative health effects and the overuse of personal technologies. The propensity for younger and younger people to want to use or overuse these technologies. The technologies, of course, we're talking about are smartphones, tablets, anything connected to the internet, but especially the more modern devices. And the evidence that, you know, overuse is becoming more prevalent is pretty clear in terms of studies that have been released recently about millennials and the millennials and how millennials use technology. So, for example, there are surveys that indicate that about 3 out of every 4 millennial, that is, someone born between 1981 and 1996, believe personal technology makes their lives easier. About 4 out of 5 are extremely dependent on their devices. And many of them, you know, almost half, basically look at their cell phones almost continuously, like every 10 minutes or something like that. And certainly an overwhelming majority admit to sleeping within arm's reach of their devices and feeling compelled overnight to get up and, you know, either check their smartphone or post something. Now, that's millennials. That's a particular generational phase. And of course, each generation is different, but certainly the evidence is showing that those who are born after millennials are even more technologically dependent and certainly are much more savvy about the use of technology. You know, there's the jokes, but they're supported by reality, that many of us who are a bit on the older side turn to our younger generations to help us out with even, you know, doing fundamental tasks with the smartphones. But of course, being more comfortable with the technology doesn't necessarily mean that there's no negative health effects. The mounting evidence is basically showing all sorts of things that should concern ourselves. So, for example, increased burnout. Burnout is correlated with irrational decision-making, increased risk-taking, avoiding making decisions. Sleep deprivation is certainly a concern. Just one aspect of the sleep deprivation problem is just the fact that the sleep experts will say you need to have 7 to 9 hours of sleep, but that's considered to be a waste of time, according to surveys done of millennials. You know, about a third of the millennials think that that's too much sleep, and that the time could be better used doing something else. And that's kind of a concern because, of course, there are a lot of studies that show that sleep deprivation has long-term effects. Now, of course, when we think about, you know, how ubiquitous, I mean, it's not just a matter of personal choice, but we think about how many things have been moved or migrated from old-fashioned face-to-face or paper-based or other means of communicating or administration, moving onto smartphones. We're sort of all being brought into a mindset by which we all kind of depend on them in some way. You know, let's talk about the information overload problem. It's not just a matter of too much information. But consider how, like, if you're part of a group and the group needs to communicate with each other in some fashion, let's say that it's a volunteer group, or this is a, your children are involved in an extracurricular activity, or there's administration of some kind. Maybe at work, you need to have some sort of an alert system in order to notify people of emergencies or something of that regard. When you have a demand that says that you've got to have a means of communication, what happens? We pick an app. And we're not all picking the same apps. I'm not going to list which apps are out there. There are so many of them. But it seems nowadays that a lot of people are, or a lot of these groups are choosing different apps. I, for example, have to maintain contact lists or some other communication channel using, you know, about 5 or 6 different apps. And maybe a couple of groups are using the same app, but most of them are using their own. The one who is leading the group, who requires the communication, is choosing an app. And so then that's what the group is going to use. So it's not just information overload. This is about the proliferation of apps and the diffusion of the communication, such that, you know, whereas it may be convenient in a respect to be able to use a smartphone, you're looking down at it, you're receiving notifications from various things, and it's all kind of jumbled and confused, and if you're not careful, you can lose track very easily. And of course, that adds to the stress and anxiety. Overall, there's reason to be concerned about, you know, not just the overuse of technology in terms of personal choice, but the effects of the proliferation of its usage is forcing our hands. We're being required to use the devices in ways that would seem to be obviously inefficient. If we were to step back and think about it in the aggregate, we could probably find another way. So with all of these challenges right now with the use of personal technologies, over and above the information security challenges that we already know are out there, we sense great frustration, growing frustration with how we're seemingly drawn into this world, having to use a technology that just seems to be less and less necessary. And it actually makes things more difficult and more stressful for us than we realize. We're sort of holding on to the promise that these things, really, no kidding, will make our lives easier, when they're really making things more and more difficult. But actually, I should address the risks of this somewhat. If, for example, you've proliferated your usage across a whole bunch of apps that are effectively doing the same thing, what happens when, say, one of them becomes hacked or in some way insecure, and your information is at risk? Well, what does that do? You know, well, there you go. Adds more to the stress and anxiety. You know, what are the challenges we have with being able to confront the issue and say, you know, wait a second, enough is enough? Well, I'm going to offer a couple of them. And these are ones that, you know, just we want to consider whether or not these sort of counterarguments have merit. First off, I mean, is it crying wolf? At what point do we say that, well, the warning signs we have that a technology, for example, is becoming detrimental, is it really true or is it overhyped? Unfortunately, when it comes to technologies, we can almost easily come up with a crying wolf scenario. I mean, think about the sequences of technologies in the past, pagers, personal computers, flip phones. We had seen similar warnings about how these are going to negatively affect people and negatively affect society. And ultimately, one can argue the concerns that were expressed did not really come to fruition. We adapted, or so we think. I have some questions as to the degree to which they adapted. And of course, you know, with those earlier technologies, they weren't nearly as pervasive in our lives as current smartphones are. So there is a question as to, you know, is the mounting scientific evidence suggestive that this technology is a greater concern? I don't know. And that may be part of the problem, is that nobody knows or nobody is convinced. Yes, the science is out there. It may very well be compelling. But the situation is not so dire that people seem to want to listen to it. There must be something going on, something that is just not making this science resonate. What could that be? Well, perhaps it's about the near term and the long term. This is kind of a challenge. It's hard to really concentrate on the long term effects when, first off, the long term health effects aren't really yet known. even though we can probably presume what they are. I mean, obviously, as I said before, stress and anxiety, you know, leads to negative health effects. That's well established. But at what point is it, you know, can we really turn to the science and say definitively that the current use of smartphone technologies causes the stress and anxiety that we've seen, that we're seeing now? Or is it just simply correlated? You know, as long as those questions are there, it's going to be, you know, easy for us to sort of poo-poo it and ignore the long-term effects and then get back to the business of, well, I've got to, I'm being told that if my kid is going to be part of some extracurricular activity, I got to get on this app and I'm not going to fight it because, you know, they're just going to tell me that I can't get my kid involved in this activity. The near term is really kind of constraining us from asking the questions about the long term or concerning ourselves with it. Let me carry this even further, and I'm going to bring this up from the days of flip phones. When it comes to, say, work and the relationship of technology and work, I remember the times when organizations decided that the convenience of flip phones, which were really great as cellular technology was kind of new, but flip phones were still pretty expensive, that the organizations decided that they were going to offer flip phones to certain individuals in order to be, you know, for convenience. What that obviously did was it put the members who did not receive a flip phone on notice, in essence, that they weren't as important as the folks who received a flip phone. The ones who didn't receive a flip phone were in danger of being considered expendable. And at a time when, you know, downsizing and right-sizing was a common topic, that was anxiety-producing on its own. I mean, I experienced this myself, that, you know, seeing how organizational members were jockeying for a position to be given one of these things because of, driven in part by the fear that not having one meant that they were not important, that they were not essential. In a way, we kind of see that with the smartphone technology, that if you don't have a smartphone, you're behind or you're left out. As much as we don't want to create haves and have-nots, unfortunately, that seems to be what technology is driving us towards. And so, should we consider that acceptable? What should we do? We have to start raising the questions. But we've got to raise the right questions. Because, of course, you know, it's not a question of just saying that, okay, we need to abandon this technology and kind of go back to the 20th century when the technology was simpler and we were doing things face to face and all this sort of thing. I don't want it to be sort of a reactionary kind of a thing. So what are the right questions? How do we measure the costs and the benefits? How do we understand what is reliance on technology versus over-reliance on technology? What are things that we are relying on technology unnecessarily? Here's an example of one of the things that I'm thinking about, is that sometimes, you know, the ones who are, say, the coordinator or the one who's the decision maker for the choice of app, the way in which it would be used, how much of the risk is being shifted to the end user? So, for example, if we're making a choice about an app because we think it's going to be an easier, but it causes disruption or it makes things actually more difficult for the end user. For example, use one app for the last 3 years, information didn't change, then adopt a new app and the information is not portable and everybody must enter it again. And then there's a risk that end users will start entering incorrect information because they forget or they make mistakes. This is exacerbated if the decision to change the app was based on cost, especially when budgets are tight. And then the other thing is, you know, raising questions about the belief about what it means to make something easier. An example of this is sort of the, you know, I hate to call it hype, but it sort of is hype, about how artificial intelligence is going to make our lives easier. And does it really solve the garbage in, garbage out problem? There's certainly a lot of counter evidence to show that, artificial intelligence can certainly be powerful for addressing the information overload. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that AI is going to make better decisions than a human. I recently attended a forum hosted by faculty members from a very prominent university in artificial intelligence, and the takeaways from that forum were rather eye-opening in my mind. For example, it's a challenge to figure out whether or not the AI system is making a proper decision because it's not nearly, at least at the present time, they're not nearly as transparent about how they make decisions. So yes, you know, AI is kind of a big deal, but there's a lot of risks associated with it. There's a lot of unknowns. And these questions are things, you know, that obviously we should be asking before we decide to go all in on yet another new technology that in the end may very well have side effects that add to the stress, add to the anxiety, add to some of the concerns we currently have about smartphones. Ultimately, we want technologies to advance if they make our lives easier. But if the evidence is showing that they can actually be harmful, and not in a direct, but in a more insidious way, then we've got to be bold and start thinking about, what are we doing? What should we do? And can we stop the cycle of trying to add and add and add capabilities, when really what they do is they start adding to the cost at lessened benefit? So let's keep asking those questions, because I really do think that if we find the answers, we'll probably be better off.
And that's all for now. The views expressed are my own and do not necessarily reflect those of the United States Army War College, the United States Army, or the Department of Defense. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.